He's not going to make you do things. He's not going to make you say things. He's not going to make you praise him. He's not going to make you pray. He's not going to make you pray in tongues automatically. Because some people think, if I get filled with the Holy Spirit, if God fills me with the Holy Spirit, if I dance in the Spirit, it's got to be God. because you see people, they're dancing in the Spirit. No? If I look like that, it's got to be God. you have to give in yourself. You got to give in to the Lord, right? You got to take the first step. So thank God. I was thinking about, Joe? Is it Joe? I was thinking about you. Was it you or somebody else? We were at the Prince Arthur one time. We're demonstrating the power of God, and we had a toque. I don't know if you remember that. I don't know if that was you or your brother or somebody. No, it was you. Yeah. No, it was you. So what we did is I hit Joel in the head with a toque, and he danced, I think, maybe for like half an hour. Yeah. And I said, I'm watching the guy, going to time him and see what he does here. So he danced for about half an hour, maybe 45 minutes in the Spirit. I don't know if you remember that. He danced long and hard, yeah, by the power of the Spirit of God. And he danced, man, so fast. I said, you could not do that even if you're a top athletic person. But that's the demonstration of God's power. It's a demonstration, you know. So I was telling Pastor Ken that, and now, lo and behold, he comes in tonight. God brought him in. There's a real demonstration. So he knows I'm not lying. He wants to get it tonight. We'll have to throw my jacket on him. Amen. Anyway, so really, you know, God is not in control of everything. You have to understand that. It's a religious thing. People think, he's controlling everything. And so in time past, we believed religiously that he's controlling everything. And we say things that God's control of everything. So all the stuff that's going on, all the bad stuff, people say, when people die, well, God took them. Or God did this, you know. But you know what? The devil's been running around doing a lot of stuff that God is getting blamed for. Somebody wrote me a note yesterday or the day before, yesterday morning, and said to me, why did God took her? Why did God kill my girlfriend or whatever? Why did God take her? I said, well, God had nothing to do with it. He didn't steal. He didn't kill that person, that woman that you love. It's the devil. The Bible said that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come to give life. He's not going around killing anybody. And I was reading in the Proverbs 20-something there, just 21 or something, he says that, the guy who lives right, he'll extend his life, but the guy who lives, under the things of evil, doing evil things, he'll cut his life short. So we have a choice. We have made decisions that maybe, hurt ourselves. So we're in control of different things, more than we think we have. So what we allow in our lives, we said here, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, Matthew 16:19. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So the heaven he's talking about is not the heaven where God lives. He's talking about the third heaven. You know, the Bible talks about there's a third heaven. I believe there in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about being carried or caught up to the third heaven. He said, I don't know whether or not it was in my body or my spirit just went. I can't tell. Like say, for instance, if you died right now, you wouldn't tell whether you came out of your body or not. Because you still feel the same thing. You'd think the same thing. You'd have the same memories. Like 100 million years from now, you're going to remember days on earth. I told my wife the other day, I remember as a young person, I remember certain things. I said, say, for instance, I went to different things. We're talking about different schools doing different things, and why did they do certain things? Why does school go on outings? Why did they have certain seminars? Why do people have different things for kids? I said, I remember when I was 13 years old. Oh, well, that's not that long ago, But for some people, that's a long time. I'm 63 years old. How many years is that? 50 years ago. How many of you remember detail of 15 years ago? Okay. So I remember this. I remember I told my wife when I was in a boys' school, a training school, in 1970, I believe it was, or 70, somewhere 70, 71. 70, somewhere on there. I went to a school there, and they took us to the Parliament buildings. And they said, we're going to take you to the Parliament building. We're going to see the Prime Minister. And we're going to go see the, what's that guy's name? The Governor General. We're going to go to his house. And then we're going to go and go into the House of Commons. So I was just a young man, young boy. They took us all around. We went to the House of Commons. We met, at that time, the First Nations Cabinet Minister. And we shook his hands. I was just impressed. A real Indian in Parliament. He said he's from the Six Nations Reserve. I said, wow. And I was impressed with it. I walked away happy. I got something out of it. They took us there for a purpose. And then we went to see the cabinet members. We went into the cabinet. We was watching the debate. And we were watching all the arguments going on. I remember all that. I remember going down there and going. They said, okay, we're going to go see the Governor General. We're going to go to his house. Rideau Hall. So we went to Rideau Hall. We went inside there. And we shook the Governor General's hand. And I remember he shaking our hands and talking to us and everything. Nice to see you boys and all that. I'm not sure if we're just privileged boys, just some of us went or whatever. And it impressed me. And then we went to, he said, we're going to go see where they make money. They said, can you take any money? No, you can't take, don't take anything. So we went in there and looked at all the money they made. And so I was impressed with it. It stayed with me. And they said, we're going to have some hockey players from the Montreal Canadiens come to visit you. That's when I got sick. No, I didn't. And so different things happened like that. So another trip I remember is that we were just a summer student, a young man. He said, okay, we're going to take you all to Toronto, and we're going to meet a lot of people for the entertainment, the sports, and medicine, and everything else in there. They're going to come talk to you about their careers. And each one came up and talked about, you know, trying to enforce or at least give us some impression about how to become a better somebody or whatever, somebody when you grow up. And I was just so impressed with that. Man, I remember the details of it and how I felt out of there. So why am I saying that? I don't know, somebody might need to hear that. Because there's certain details in your life you remember and how that impresses you. I mean, if I try to remember things 15 years ago, I couldn't remember, but those I remember different things. How that impressed me. And so, forget about that. And come back here for a second. Because everything that happens in your life, you're the one that has control over it. You have control over yourself. You have control over your whatever business you have. You have the keys. The keys symbolizing control, privilege, honor. That's what it means in your life. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, that God has delivered us from the power of darkness or the control of darkness. In other words, darkness or the devil or demons cannot control you, even if they appeared in front of you. When I was a kid, I used to be afraid a devil might show up. Yeah! I'm the devil! And I would be afraid. And so I'd be so afraid of that in my mind, that I'd be afraid of, in the dark time, I'd pull my, you know, if my feet were sticking out, I would pull back in because the devil might grab my foot. I'd go under the, like this, under the blankets, thinking that the blanket is going to save me, but it's not going to save you. Eh? So, but we were afraid of different things. So the Bible says in here, all these things start to, you see, these little things that happen to you when you're a kid, they begin to grow bigger. Those monsters in the dark become bigger and become more sophisticated, and we begin to be afraid of different things in our lives. As you get older, the devil tells you, you're going to lose your mind. You're getting old and there's traces there that you start losing your mind. Then you say, oh, I am? Yeah, it's going to happen fast too. Then you start thinking about it, or you might get incapacitated. Things are going to happen to you. You're going to get sick. You might get cancer. You might have a heart attack. You might have a stroke. Look at that guy over there. He had a stroke. You might be next. And so different ones are afraid. They start getting scared, and different things will happen to them like that. So you have to understand that you have a power over the enemy that is trying to attack you, to come over your life. Or sometimes you're afraid of yourself. What if you go back to using substances that you got in trouble with? What if you went back to gambling? What if you were used to a person that ran around and just slept with anybody before you were saved, and you had the same urges now that you have a husband or wife? See, those things just doesn't go away just because you got married. Am I in the same building as you? They don't just go away. If you were a gambler before you're saved. That can come back on you. You can start gambling with you. See, there's Christians who actually scratching all kinds of stuff. They got a scratching problem. You know? And they go gassed up and they see that thing there. Okay, give me three of those. And four of these ones. And get it, and then over that, and then that one over there, and then over here. I said, come on, I got to get going. I got to go to work here. There's people waiting for me in the car. And this guy is scratching. There's one lady who had that problem, scratching over in the store, like the drugstore. She is scratching everything. I had to wait for her for a long time. So you might get a scratching problem if you don't watch it. If you had pornography problems before, those things happen. That can come back jumping on you again. I know people who've been quitting drinking there for 20 years and never took a drink. All of a sudden, now they're back out there. They're worse than they were before. So we know that the devil, he's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And so we're giving you this message to tell you that you have control. You have something to do. You're not helpless. And every Christmas, I get depressed. Well, no wonder you're depressed. You're talking about it. You're getting ready to do it. And every time you see somebody over there buying stuff, you go, oh, how come they got a nice Christmas tree and I don't have one? Well, make the best of it. Go get a stick tree in the bush. Get to do something, right? So everybody is, they think, because they got saved, everything's going to go well. And your mind is still in the process of changing. So if you have to, you got to change your mind in order for you to change how you feel. Some people say you got to change your thinking, then your feelings will follow. And when you feel good, then you start acting right. And then when you start acting right, things, the situations start changing. It's important for us to realize the next action that we make is important to us. So we have the Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Let's go out there, look at it from the Amplified Version, if you do that for us. Give this to 12 and 13. It says here, Amplified, giving thanks unto the Father, who is qualified as made us to fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people in light. Go to the next one. The Father has delivered and drawn us out of the control. Everybody say, out of the control. So in other words, Satan cannot control you unless he can control you. Even if you're born again in spirit filled, he can control you if you get out of the perfect will of God into what the permissive will of God is. You know, you can do anything you want, but not everything's going to be what I'm looking for. Not everything is edifying. I was not looking for that word, but there's another word of edifying. Not everything's going to be a blessing to you. Like tonight, for instance, you could stay home, and it wouldn't necessarily be a sin, but it wouldn't be right if you could be here. But it's far better if you're here to hear the Word of God. There's anointing here. There's anointing. There's the power of God operating right here in this room right now. You can't see it. The Holy Spirit is here. The angels are here. God's moving. And potentially you can get really blessed. Let me take a selfie. You can get delivered from selfies. Praise God. We have to be able to understand these things, that we have control more than we thought we had in time past. I'm just trying to go through these in notes here. I'm working from two selections of the best of Roma Fisher. I thought you'd like that too. Okay, so he's drawn us out of the control of the dominion of darkness. In other words, darkness cannot dominate you. And I said this to you, he can only control you, he can only dominate you if you have these two problems right now. What are they? Number one, if you're ignorant or untaught about what your position is, about what you can do, what the devil cannot do in your life. In other words, ignorance. You walk in the darkness. You don't understand. You don't know anything. So you give the devil, if he's going to attack you, you have no defense because you can't resist him because you don't know you can resist him. So you have to allow him to, because he does it because of your ignorance. The devil can come over there and do something in your life, but if you don't know how to use your prayer, you don't know how to have your prayer language, you don't know how to apply the blood of Jesus, you don't know how to use the name of Jesus, don't have to resist him with the word of God, then the devil comes in, does whatever he wants to do. And so that's how he can dominate you, even as a spirit-filled Christian. So he can control you if you don't allow God's word to come into you through teaching of the word. Like, you can learn things on your own, but there is an anointing when somebody stands in an office of a teacher or a pastor. There is a special anointing that comes with that office to help you go a whole lot better than you were out by yourself. Otherwise, why would God have pastors? Why would God have a teacher? Because you just go home and do it yourself. Everybody said, well, I can do it myself. No, you can't. You can't. There's certain things you can't do on your own. Now, it'll bless you. Every one of us should study the word on our own. But there's something extra about getting together with God's people when a man of God is anointed and God puts that there for a reason to help you hit a home run every time. The second way in which the devil can dominate your life is through your disobedience, where you get yourself out of the will of God. Let's go over here to Romans chapter 12 for a second. God makes a distinction, gives us information about the will of God. Chapter 12, Romans 12. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Everybody say, you. That means that you, as a born-again believer, now you're in charge. Your inner man should be in charge of your body. Your spirit should dominate all the impulses and urges and desires of your physical body. Because your body will want to do everything, and your body will deceive you, or your body will lie to you, or the devil will use your body to lie to you. Because you say, I want to smoke. I want to smoke. I want to smoke. I want to smoke. That's what the flesh does all the time. That's exactly how it is. I mean, it might sound stupid and funny, but I'm not trying to be funny. I'm showing you exactly what the Bible says about the flesh. I want to smoke. I want to eat hot dog. I want to eat some ham. It keeps telling you what to do. And if you don't know to tell your flesh to shut up, he said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then you have a fight. And Galatians chapter 6 says there's a war going on between your spirit man, your inward man, and your flesh, your outward man. If you don't put enough word into your spirit, your flesh will dominate every time. And it'll just take you over. And if you ever notice, in all the epistles, one of the first ways the flesh takes over is in the sexual sin area. Now we're getting real close. If you look at the scripture, it's the first thing you know that the Bible always talks about, that looseness in the sexual area. I'm not going to look over there because last time we got into trouble. I'm going to look at her. She probably needs all the help. Okay, because last time the girls had a little fun over there teasing, you know. We were having a little fun because we're cousins. We're from the same area. Even if you're the same area, you're like a cousin. Like Ernie's my cousin. He's OG Cree. Hey, where'd you go? Okay. Okay, so two areas, right? Number one is ignorance. Devil can take control over you or have dominion or exercise his power over you if you don't know any better. That's why as an older Christian, you can help a younger Christian take control and pray and take control over the devil, over that person, and help them along. And God will allow it to a certain extent for a certain time. But you can't, if you just let everybody handle all your spiritual problems, all your spirituality, and, Pastor, pray for me. Let's go over to the elders, they'll pray for me. No, that's not how God wants it. God wants you to take care of it. Because you can't say, come on over here, follow me wherever I go. Come on, help me. No, the devil wants you to stand up. Or God wants you to stand up. God wants you to stand up straight and start taking authority. No, devil, you go back there. Right? He wants you to grow up. He wants you, the Bible, the purpose of God putting the teachers in the church, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 to 11 and 12, is to teach you so that you can mature and grow. And verse 15 says the purpose is that so we look like Jesus. We resemble Jesus more and more. Like we take authority over the devil. So, we'll do that. And so the more teaching, the more word of God, the Bible says in 2 Peter, the more you want to enjoy, if you want to enjoy the grace of God more, you want to enjoy the peace of God more, then get more of the word in your life. The more word you got, the more freer you are. The less word you got, the less freer you become. And the more you get away from the word, then the word becomes darker, shaded, and it's not clear. But the more you stay in the light, the brighter it is. How to stay, like say, friends, we got these lights, TV lights here. If I go over here, it's nice and bright over here. But if I go over here, there's hardly any light over here. There's no light over here. We got to shine some light over here. Yeah? So, ignorance, disobedience, devil will have control. Let's go over there to Romans chapter 5 and 17 one more time. Because it's important to go over these things. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing and hearing. When I was in Rhema Bible Training College, they said to us, teach it over and over. Repeat it over and over. Because some people, Brother Higgins said, he said to us, there's some people, all of us, most people, need to hear something at least 50 times before it starts to sink in. I can see some people, maybe more than that. And she goes, okay, You know, okay, so we were reading that, we got caught over on the body part. Romans 12. I beseech therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will. You want to be in the perfect will of God, where Satan has no access to you. I told you a story last week about Brother Hagin. He's teaching. He's traveling around as a minister. He's been in ministry for a number of years. And he started to do things that he wanted to do instead of following God completely. And God said to him, I want you to go back to Rhema or go back to Tulsa. And I want you to teach on prayer. I want you to teach on faith. I want you to have these seminars and start teaching over there and do this over here. And he began to disobey God about doing certain things. He was preaching in a service one day and at a church, and he fell over from the pulpit and took his elbow out. And when he got to the hospital, they said, there's good news, bad news. The good news is you didn't break your arm. The bad news is worse than breaking your arm. This is going to take longer to heal than if you had a fracture or a broken arm. Jesus, while the physicians and doctors left the room, he's in there by himself, and Jesus comes in, appears to him. And he said, you know what happened? He said, you got attacked because you got out of my perfect will. You got out of my perfect will, and you went into an area where you disobeyed me. Disobedience. Didn't Isaiah said, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. How many people know that when you follow God, no matter what, you're going to always be successful? You remember Psalm chapter 1? Or is it Psalm chapter 1? Blessed is the man who walks not in the... blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, but... nor stands in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, and in his season shall bring fruit, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. We shall prosper when we follow God, when we're in the will of God. And Deuteronomy 28, the Bible talks about in there that, you know, I think verse 8 and verse 12 talks about in there about the blessings of God. He said, whatever you put your hand to, you're going to prosper. God says, if you determine something, if you find something that, you know, it's in my will of God, and you put your hand to it, you'll prosper. I remember in 1986, the Lord came to me and said to me, anything you do, anything you decide to do that's in my will, you'll prosper. And I heard some good stories about people who this whatever. You know, you can actually, in the natural, you can have any kind of success and be successful, make money. And you can have, you know, some power, you can have some privilege, you can have some honor, you can have that all by yourself without God in some areas. You can make money, you can experience, respect from people, you can have prestige and honor from people, but God might not be in it. And make money, have nice projects and have do it all, but the Bible says in the end it's going to be like nothing. It's going to be like ashes, and it's going to wash away. God, you know, remember Psalm 127? Unless God builds the house, they that labor in vain. In other words, you're just doing it for nothing. There's some things in my life that I want to do. I took before God. I said, God, do you want me to do this? Because I know you told me in 1985, 86. That whatever I do will prosper. I know I could do anything. You say, I could do anything I want to do in you. If it's in your will, I can do it. I just have to find the key. It's finding out what God wants you to do. And so, recently had some decisions that I made. I know I'm going to be successful anywhere I want to go. But I want God in it. But I don't want to risk cutting my life short and being sick half the time I'm alive and having mental health issues. I want to be fully at peace doing what I'm supposed to do. Going to bed at night in peace, getting up with peace, waking up at night in peace, and doing whatever I do in peace and have no stress in my body. Because I know I'm in the will of God. Because I could make money, you could make money and still be stressed out. And some people, like, they seem like they're doing good. They got 2 cars, 3 cars, they're running around. But they, you know, what is it if you're not in the will of God? So Brother Hagin falls over. And Jesus said to him, because you got out of my will. Because you're thinking about these other things. That I told you, I want you to do this thing over here. And Jesus said, you'll get better quicker if you just follow what I said to do. And he did get better faster. He said, every time I had a heart attack or every time I had a problem, it was because I was out of the will of God. And he had a couple of those experiences. And, you know, he's doing the ministry. He's preaching the gospel. And I remember, and you and I, we went to Florida, I think in, I can't remember, 2000, and was it 90, I think maybe, I don't know, early in the 90s, when to Benny Hinn, we went to Brother Benny Hinn. And we used to go to these meetings, you know, Holy Spirit encounter meetings with Brother Benny. And I followed him for many years, you know, just follow what he does. I said, if you can do it, I can do it. So, you know, I couldn't get anybody to come to my church. I was in Florida, had a church. I'd have meetings everywhere, try to have these meetings, miracle meetings. Nobody hardly show up. And then I was on the road. I have lots of after these meetings, all these things is going on. Have, you know relative healings and different things because you're preaching God's word. Whatever you preach God's word, somebody's going to get something. Even if you were out of the will of God, somebody's still getting saved because the word of God never comes back void. Amen. Right? You know, anybody can do that. But you want to be in the will of God. So Brother Benny said after church one Sunday in Florida, he said he went out and take a shower. He wasn't feeling good. And he said he fell over. But he was felt sick that morning. He fell over and he had a heart attack. He took him to the hospital, and he said, "Brother, the doctor had all the tests. He said, you have a hole in your heart. And he said, you got to stop ministry right now. You can't travel. You can't do anything. He said, what are you talking about? I got all this planned. We got this all this planned out. We got meetings to go to. I got an itinerary. We got every month. I got a huge crusade plan and all this stuff. He said, the doctor said, no, you can't go. You could die. And and then so they told him, we have to repair this somehow. You need the help. And so he's thinking about it. So the doctor left the room. Then he heard somebody come in. It's Jesus coming. Sat down, talked to him. He said, Benny, I told you to do this, whatever. He said to him, I told you to pastor. And you just like going on the road and doing the meetings, the healing services. He said, if you would follow my will, you got attacked because you got out of my will. And he said, if you follow me, I'm going to make you successful. You're going to have this success in your life again. He said, and that's how he got healed again. See, sometimes we have to get in and take control back and find out what the will of God is for our lives. Right? Like, we want to go to bed tonight and say, no, you know what? Hey, listen, if I die tonight, I'm ready to go. And I've done everything I could to follow the will of God, the plan of God for my life. Because you'll give an account. Romans 14, 2 Corinthians 5 says, every one of you is going to stand before Jesus and give account for the gifts and the call of God on your life. Every one of us is going to give account. Well, I don't know what that's going to be. He's not going to kill you. You're going to have to give account, though. Right? You'll lose. Some people said you'll lose some gifts or whatever. But thank God you're saved. But we want to be in control. And so we said to you, so Romans 5 and 17. Let's go back there. Romans 5, 17. And we're going to about to close in about 3.5 minutes. Because I told those stories. I'm taking some time back. Okay. Did we find it? So let's pull it back to the other version, the Amplified. Amplified is coming up. There it is. For because of one man's trespass, who's that one man? Adam. Lapse, offense, death, reign. In other words, death, the spirit of death, spiritual darkness, began to rule over man. Up until Jesus came and took those keys and gave it back to us. Remember in Revelation, he says, I have the keys. I was dead. In verse 18, I think it is, Revelation 1:18, he said, I was dead, but now I'm alive. I have the keys of death and hell. And over there, Matthew 18, or 16:18, he says, I got the keys. I've got the keys. I'm going to give it to you. And you're going to have to control some things. He says, so death reigned through that one much more. Sure, with those who receive God's overflowing grace, that's us, unmerited favor, and the free gift of righteousness. You didn't have to work for God to love you. Jesus did it for you. He's given you righteousness. Are you still here? Okay, so putting them into right standing with himself. In other words, God used Jesus as a vehicle to put you in right standing with himself. Now that you're in right standing with him, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says that by faith we became righteous. Our faith in Jesus, we became right with God because of Jesus. Something's happening in this room. Okay? I can just sense that right there. Woo! Something happened. Amen. Watch this. Standing, right standing with himself. Look at, reign as kings in life. Because of God's unmerited favor in your life, because of right standing with him or righteousness, you reign in this life as a king. You have keys, the keys of heaven, to start ruling and reigning in your life. So you have control. God has given you control to use your free will either to follow him or follow the enemy or do what you want to do. Some people say, I'm just doing it on my own. Nobody can control me. I'm just doing what I want to do. No, you're disobedient and you're following the plan of the devil. Okay, so we say, so reign is king. So how are we going to reign? So what are we going to reign over? The first question is, what are we going to reign over? So there's three areas we said you're going to reign over. You can become a king in your life over, number one, over the devil's attack in your life. You can take authority over the devil attacking you and your children. You're not helpless with your grandchildren or your own children. You can take your rightful place and start taking authority over your children. And you have to know how to do that. You can't just say, oh, I can do it and just try it. You can't just try it. You have to know it in your mind and in your heart to execute faith. That's where meditation comes in. It doesn't happen just because you heard it one time. Oh, I heard it. Just say what I want to say. Go ahead. You know, some people say, okay, we're going to pray. We're going to pull down every devil in the city and take over the city so nothing ever happens here. No, the devil has authority in this place. He can just be here if he wants to be in the city. You can't pray that every devil leaves the city. You got only right for your life and for those who want to accept your help and Jesus in their lives. And so there's no place where Jesus is praying with his disciples, we're going to pray over Jerusalem and take down the devils. He didn't, you know, Paul didn't do mass sermons and pray over cities and take down the demonic forces over the city. He didn't. Because there's no such thing. The devil has authority to be here as long as his lease is still running. So, you're going to take over the devil, his attacks in your life. Number two, you're going to take authority over every circumstance that's coming against you and take in the name of Jesus. If you can take authority over the winds, if Jesus took over the seas and everything like that, like, you know, he spoke to fig trees and spoke to demons and whatever. We can speak in that way over our own situations. Speak to your situation. Speak to your mountain. Say, come on in line in your life where you can, where you know it. Pray in the Spirit if you can. And number three, you take over your body. And we get stuck in that area. We can't get in there. It's time again to close. We say, we're going to talk about the body. And we haven't done it yet. Because, you know, I was telling the Lord, I've been praying. I said, Lord, please give me some other message. I told the Lord this morning, I said, give me something else. I got a whole bunch of sermons. I said, Lord, no, we got to pray. We got to do this again. So, you know, God permit, Sunday morning, we'll be doing another sermon or this again. So why do we have to, you know, what are the keys? The keys are the authority in your life. You have authority in your life. Number three, or at least, what do we take authority over? We take authority over the devil. Take authority over your body, over your own mind, over your own feelings. You can take over your feelings. Take authority over how you feel. You might feel like real, I'm losing it. I'm losing it. Well, you're losing it because you say you're losing it. You don't act on how you feel to say, no, I know I feel like I'm losing it, but I'm not losing it. Go to your bathroom and drink some water. No, I'm not losing it. Devil, I'm not losing it. He says, no, look at this. Look how you feel. Feel your heart. Look at your mind. No, I'm taking control. My mind is my mind. I can think what I want to think in the name of Jesus. You know, some of us used to have anxiety attacks. I used to have them. Used to have anxiety attacks. Get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and start. You ever have that? Yeah? Honey, call the doctor. I remember one time I told my wife that two times it happened to me. It's like it's real, man. I thought I was dying. I was doing my degree over in Manitoba. I said, Lord, honey, call the doctor. What's happening? She said, what's happening? She said, it slapped me. wake up. But you know, she's so nice. Okay, honey. We'll call a doctor. But no, she's better now. She just said, oh yeah, you'll be all right. That's what Kendra says to Steve, Pastor Steve. You know, he's like, I'm dying and everything. She said, oh, you'll be all right. Get up and go to work. Go drive your truck. Where's your truck? Go get your truck. Okay, honey, I'll get my truck. We're like little animals. And then the next one, I'm going to Tulsa, Mecca. They call it Tulsa, Jerusalem. So we went to Tulsa, Jerusalem. We went to Tulsa. We're going to camp meeting. I mean, everybody is there. Every star at the Word of Faith is there around Brother Hagin. So I woke up in the morning, and I was tired. We were all tired the last few days. We have like 3-4 meetings in the morning, and then you go to every other thing and eating over there and running here, shopping. Then you have an afternoon meeting. I mean, it's just like meeting after meeting. So I woke up in the morning like, I'm having an attack. I said to her, take me to the hospital. What's wrong with you? I can't see. I was talking to Max. Max said, I read in the Bible that somebody, a king, heard something, and all of a sudden, all the strength from his body left him. I don't know if anybody had that happen to them. I mean, all the strength left you. Because they're so frightened, eh? That's what Max told me. He said, the doctor told him something. It just left him. It's just, they had no energy left. Yeah, he couldn't move or anything. I'm the same thing like my wife. I said, I mean, fear comes in. It just takes control over you. If you don't take control over it, you got to start fighting back. I said, you got to start fighting back. You got to start fighting back, whatever. Take control over that fear. I'm a fear expert. I should have that in one of my resumes. What's your skill, Roma? I'm a fear expert. What in the world is a fear expert? Then I say, well, one time when I was in Tulsa. Eh? And so I took authority over that thing. You have to learn. If you're having anxiety attacks, you got to learn how to take control over it. No one's going to take control over it. Even if I come to your house and everybody else comes and they pray and just cast that devil out of there, as soon as we left, they come back in. I'm serious. You come to church, you're like that, and I'm going to go up and have Pastor Roma lay hands on me. He has the anointing. So you come up there and you fall over into the power. It feels so good. Woo! And the devil runs out of the church. And then he's waiting there by your car. Calling his other demon friends. Come on. And then you get on your car. They jump in the car in the front seat there with you. Everybody stand up. Everybody say, I have control. You got to believe that. It's true. Is there any demons waiting for you outside? No. No. You take authority of it. You can't come to my house anymore. You jump on your coffee table. We want chips. He said, I love those chips too. Honey, go get some chips. You didn't know there's a demon that's actually bugging you. But you say, it's okay to have one. A whole bag later. Lift that hand and thank God. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the power of control in our own lives. We exercise power, Father, in the name of Jesus. Wherever we have been loosed, wherever we've been lax, we take authority in the name of Jesus. We say our minds are our minds. Our emotions are our emotions. We take control of how we feel by thinking right. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, you'll have perfect peace when you put your mind on Him. When you put your mind on the Word of God and we cast down thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God, we take captive every thought. And we say, thoughts, you line up with God's holy Word. And you start thinking holy and straight and right in the name of Jesus. Don't think weakness and pain. I command you to think healing and prosperity and success and put strength in your body. Thank you, Father. We take control over fear and anxiety. We do not allow it to control our lives anymore. We're not afraid of disease and sickness. We're not afraid of poverty and lack. We're not afraid of failure. We're not afraid of coming to a place where we cannot, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Thank you today for control over our lives. We're not helpless. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the blood of Jesus. We have the name of Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have faith in the blood in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody, Kishita. Come on, use some vigor. In the name of Jesus. Believe it in the name of Jesus. We do not allow Satan to control our families. We do not allow Satan to control circumstances contrary to the will of God. In the name of Jesus, Horabakasanda, Babakarishitele Makasamba, O Bradiriba Shite, Mandra Kasate Shite, O Rabakasamba, Libi Shite. We are free. Free. Oh, Shamba Kalaba Shiteleba, Sambra Kishiteba Basatalama, Obra Kishimana, Somboroba Shitelema, Kamba Shitalama Koso, Obra Rea Shite, Obra Kishinima. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for the Holy Spirit and His power and the word of faith tonight. Thank you that we're relieved. We just thank you. We just commit our lives to your will and your plan, your purpose, whatever you wanted to do. We'll serve your people gladly. We'll give gladly. We'll do whatever it takes to get the will of God going. So, Father, we give you the glory and praise and adoration. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah, that our children are saved. Our families are saved and safe and sound. And successful, we call them successful. Every one of them that are losing the battle, seemingly losing the battle right now, we say, success, success, success. In the name of Jesus, we call them peaceful, peaceful, easy living people. Thank you. Every need met. Every need met. Free from every obstruction. We call them free from demonic influences. Cut them off. Cut the sources of demonic influctuation in their life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Those of you that are watching online and you've never made Jesus the Lord of life, the Bible says, call upon His name, you shall be saved. Say, Jesus, come in my life. I'm a sinner. I need your help. Do it now. And if you've been away from God, say, God, I'm coming back to you in the name of Jesus. Is there anybody here right now, sound of my voice, you want to come back to Jesus? You've been away from God. Lift your hands up. I want to pray for you right now. Anybody here just say, I want to come back to God. Anybody here just say, I need Jesus to come back to my life. I want control in my life. I need control in my life. Come on right now. Come on. If that's you, we're going to pray with you right now. Come on. In the name of Jesus, get out of your chair. Come on. Don't be afraid. In the name of Jesus, if that's you. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 In the name. In the name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Mambra kishi dalmakasa. Ombra kishi. Deba labakasa. Mandidishi. Oh, nanda mercy. Come on. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Ora makasa. Mandidishite. Ene mekisha. Mombra kasha. Say, thank God I'm born again. Say, I'm saved. Say, I'm not helpless. Say, I'm strong. Say, I love myself. Say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I take control over my mind, over my feelings. I take control over fears. I take control over my desires. I bring them in line with God's will. In the name of Jesus, I call myself healed. I call myself delivered. I call myself safe. I make right decisions. I'm smart. Ha, 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 devil. You have no control over me. I know that you know that I have control. And God knows it. And I know it, that I am free. I'm not under your control. I'm not your puppet. I'm not your robot. I am in control. I am in control. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for the anointing of God. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. Ha, 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 ha. Just make yourself laugh. Ha, 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 ha. Ha, 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 ha. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know what? You might not feel like laughing, but you just go ahead and do it. Ha, 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 ha. If you're scared, just ha, ha, ha. In Jesus' name. But I tell you, God is for you. Who can be against you? God is for you. Glory to God. I pray for you in the name of Jesus that things are going to go in the right direction. Amen? Give your whole life over to God. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything stop you. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. And you know what? God's there for you, my brother. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We're strong. We're strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes, you know, I tell you, your body can lie to you and say, oh, you can't do it. Your mind will lie to you. But no, you take control of it. I said, nope. I'm not thinking that way. If you don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. You have to do it. You have to make yourself praise God. You got to make yourself do things you don't want to do. I'm going to tell you a secret. When I was in school, I said, God, Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Even when I had, when I was in crunch time writing papers, I said, no, I'm going to school. I said, if I don't have my sobriety, if I don't stay sober, if I don't stay right with God, school's not going to mean nothing to me. I'm not saying that because you haven't done that, but I'm just saying, you know, for me, because I know because crunch time can be tough, man. Like right now, I know people at home right now writing papers. But God is more than papers. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're successful, man. You're successful beyond the devil trying to tell you things. He's a liar. And I could, there's a number of people around you can tell you right now, you know, Sterling, you've made progress. You impressed me. You're better. But you know you keep beating yourself down. The devil keeps lying to you. You are a winner. You are special. You have uniqueness about you. And you impress people more than you ever recognize. I'm impressed with you. 100%. 100%. And I watch how God done stuff in your life. But you're that close of going back out there again. That close. Me too. We have to stay in the straight and narrow. You too, right? You know what? Drugs has no control over your life. You gave that control to them. Your mom wants you to be alive. She don't want you dead. I had to call a pastor today. He said, you know what? Is this young lady, are you so-and-so's uncle? I said, yeah. We just buried a young lady here. She got sober for a while. She went to church for a little while. She went back out there and died, overdose. Just like that. She's dead now, gone. Left 4 children behind. Young woman. That's your fate if you go back out there. But you know, your mom doesn't want you to die. Your aunts don't want you to die. I don't want you to die. God doesn't want you to die. But if you do that, that's what's going to happen. It's serious. So I'm on your side. When you don't come here, I think about you when you don't come here. You realize that God puts you on my heart that I can think about that? God wants me to pray for you. I'm going to stand with you and your mother to see you come through this thing. Because no one knows what drug addiction does unless you've been there yourself. Unless your mom's been there yourself. She can't even leave your house. She can't go nowhere and do anything without you on her heart. continually. It's a hard thing to have somebody on your heart all the time. 100%. Right, Joel? Where's my toque? Get my toque. Bless you, my brother, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you. Man, you're getting big. You were like that, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to get a bigger toque. I bless you, my brother, in the name of Jesus. You're my first cousin. Why did you get so big?
My uncle
was big. In the name of Jesus, I bless you. I pray that the road ahead of you will be more softer. Tread slowly with God and follow His plan. Things are going to fall into place for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your path. There's a devil waiting outside for you. Get stuck. But you can say, no, I'm not going to follow you. No. See? You say, no, I'm not going to follow him.
You gotta,
he says, yeah, that's what my mom used to say. You're stuck.
Yeah.
Okay. God bless you, my friend. Bless you. Bless you. Yeah. Okay. God bless you, guys. Bless you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.